to Trinity Dallas. We pray that this message will be a source of encouragement and hope in your life today. Enjoy today's message.
The month of October is special to us around here. For several years now, we've taken the month of October and really talked about vision and the issues that surround bringing a vision from your heart into reality. Last week, I talked about one of the big issues is faith. The chair that you're sitting in is there because someone saw it first in their mind's eye before they ever saw it put together. And then once seeing it in their mind's eye, they were able to work hard and get it to come to life here on earth. And so that really is the essence of really faith. It's seeing what's possible. It's seeing what is potential and then putting hard work to it and seeing it come to life. And so last week we talked about faith. This week we're going to talk about generosity. Generosity. Next week I'm going to be talking about expansion. And then the Thursday night of our Vision Builders Roundup, I'm going to be talking about the next generation. So there's a method here to the things that I'm sharing this month. And today I'm talking about generosity. And tap your neighbor and say, really what he's talking about is giving. Yeah. Tap your neighbor. Try it. Just tap your neighbor. Yeah. Hey, really what he's talking about is giving. Put all that in there before I told you what I was talking about is so you won't walk out of here and say, that's all he ever talks about. No, this is my once a year talking to you about giving. You're a generous church, and I'm humbled, and Nancy and I are humbled to be part of the leadership here. And so I want to just talk to you today about the kind of generosity that honors God, Here's the definition for generosity. Generosity is the quality of being kind and generous. Well, that entails a whole lot, does it? It's the willingness to give and the willingness to share of yourself and your resources. Now, here's the big word, unselfishly. Unselfishly. So, generosity is the quality of being kind and generous. It's the willingness to give and to share of yourself and your resources unselfishly. And today, I want to just make this connection that generosity really is a synonym for giving. Giving, whether it's giving of your time or your talent or your resources, generosity involves giving all three of those. And so when I mention and say the word generosity, I'm talking about giving. When I say the word giving, I'm talking about being generous. And I'm willing to say this morning, I'm talking to a very generous group of people. But how many of you know there's always room for more generosity? Yeah. When you're generous, you are open and willing to share with others and to give without any expectation of receiving anything back to you. That's what generosity is. It has no expectation tied to it. If it's a transaction, quid pro quo, I give and I get, right? That's not what we're talking about. I give because I get a tax deduction. Well, good. You got your reward, the tax deduction, right? There may be a day coming in the not too distant future where we lose our tax deduction. Then we'll find out who's really generous and who's not, right? And so generosity then is really giving without any expectation of receiving something back in return. One of the litmus tests for us to see whether we have a generous and giving spirit really has nothing to do with giving at all. Here's a question that you can answer for yourself. Can you celebrate the success and efforts of others without judgment, envy, or resentment? Can you celebrate the success of others? Say you have a friend here who is being promoted in something that you're good at too. Can you celebrate her success? Can you celebrate? Yes, you can. I'm going to help you. Before this is over, I'm going to help you. Can you celebrate? God, that was great. I love, this is what's so great about this church, right? It's just, it's raw, honest. Heck no, I can't celebrate them. Here's some of the benefits of giving. Some of the benefits of giving. Giving reduces stress. If you're stressed out, start giving. Not just your money, not just your resources, but your time and your talent. Find somewhere you can give, right? Give. Giving reduces stress. Giving supports and enhances our physical health. Giving reinforces humility, right? We give, it's a humbling thing to give. Giving enhances our sense of purpose. Yeah, we're living for something beyond ourselves. Giving is a natural enemy and naturally fights depression. You're dealing with depression like so many of us, I have, so many of us. Find a place to start giving. Giving your life away, giving yourself, giving of your resources, giving of your money, and find some place. Giving has been shown to strengthen our immune system and increase our lifespan. Yeah. Want to live longer? Start giving. Start giving. Notice that sometimes the older that people get, the more self-enclosed and introspective they become. And so the way to fight that is to open up, right? Is open up and to give. I mean, some people become so introspective, they just almost bent over, double. And so giving then it gives you the ability to look out over the horizon. Giving will bring you hope. Yeah, you start giving, it's a good dose for hope. And hope is the substance of faith, right? And so giving is really, really important. I want to give you today five affirmations from which biblical giving is founded upon. Biblical giving is built on five affirmations. The first affirmation is this, that I am a servant and a steward. I am a servant and a steward. I didn't make that up this morning. I didn't think, wow, that'd be a good thing to say. Because the Bible reaffirms that. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1, Paul writes, "Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God." There's nothing that you own in the physical world that you can take with you to the next world. Not one thing. I mean, I'd like to think there were some things I could take. I'm pretty fond of several things in my house I really like. But you won't be able to take those with you. I don't know if any of you have been to an estate sale lately, but it's really a spiritual eye-opening experience. Because you walk into the home of someone you've never met, and you look around at the stuff that they've collected all their life, and you watch people buy their important stuff for 10 cents on the dollar and walk out never knowing you, never giving credit for you having bought it, received it, gotten it. It's gone. It's a real eye-opening experience because you realize that everything that they were, they'll be like a glass cabinet be full of, expensive crystal. You realize that lady probably spent most of her life gathering up all that crystal. Now she's gone and people are buying it and walking out the door with it. And that's the big reality about our lives here on this earth. We think we'll be remembered for the stuff that we had, but none of that stuff matters. My dad gave me some great advice years ago. He said, spend the first 40 years of your life acquiring things, and the last 40 years of your life giving them away. Nancy's spent all her life doing that. All my good stuff she's given away. And so now if I have good stuff, I hide it from her. Our first affirmation is that we are servants and stewards, and there's nothing that we have we can take with us. Good. Nothing we have. So all we can take with us into the next world is the relationships that we have and the Word of God. That's it. Yeah. And for those relationships, when I'm gone, I will enter that great cloud of witnesses. And I'll be that voice that'll be cheering you on in the vision and the mission that God has given you. And so we are servants and stewards. Here's the second affirmation. The second affirmation on biblical giving is that I am a giver. I am a giver. Now, why is that? Well, John 3:16 says that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe of him would have life and have it eternally. And so God is a giver. He is a giver of life. He's a giver of joy. He's a giver of hope. He's a giver of faith. He's a giver of goodness and kindness and tenderness. He's a giver of all that stuff. He is a giver. The thing that was most precious to him in heaven, he gave to us, his Son Jesus. He's given us now the Holy Spirit to be with us, to lead us, to guide us, to never forsake us, to never move apart from us. Why? Because he's a giver. He's a giver. And it's in the hope that he has that through his kindness, that all would come to repentance and all would come to know him. But still, there's still some that snub their nose at him. There's still some that determined, regardless, to go their way. And so the Lord desires that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance and that all should know him. And so why? Because he's a giver. So therefore, we are givers. We're generous because our Father in heaven is a giver. We got the DNA, once we're born again, of our Father in heaven. He's a giver. And because he's a giver, we're a giver. It's like my children, Joe and Landon, they're Martins. Why are they Martins? Because I'm a Martin. And so now they're Martins. And those little grandchildren that we have together, they all got my DNA in them. They and Nancy's DNA. They're Martins. They may have a different last name, some of them, Tillery's. That's great, but they're Martins. They can't help it. They got it in them. You know, and the craziest, most wonderful thing about being a grandfather is seeing your grandchild act like you used to act before you got saved. And realize that she got the DNA, not just the good, but the bad too. Right? And she had to deal with all that. And so when we give, we affirm that we serve Jesus and not mammon. Mammon is riches, and riches are deceitful. The reason they're deceitful is because when you have them and you get your back against the wall, you believe that that can save you, right? And in some cases, it can save you, only to go round again to another test and another one and another one. The thing about God is you never really fail the test. You just get to take it over and over and over again. And my question for those of you that have taken it over and over, are you dizzy yet? Yeah, today you can get free of that dizziness. And we can move to another level just by becoming a giver. When we give, we represent the character and life of God our Father to all those that know us. He's a giver, therefore we are givers. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 that we should excel in giving. He said, as you abound in everything, that means to grow, to excel. As you grow in faith, as you excel in speech, as you excel in knowledge, as you excel in diligence, as you excel in your love for the brethren, he says, see to it that you excel in giving too. We are to excel in giving, right? Yes. Number three, here's the third biblical affirmation. I have an eternal perspective. I have an eternal perspective. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, Jesus at the Sermon on the Mount said it this way, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up your treasures in heaven. Why? That neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. He says, because where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Yeah. I have a very close friend who was the CEO of a company that sold out several years ago. And his portion of the proceeds were in the nine figures. I mean, he hit it out of the park. And so the reason I met him in the first place is that he wrote a very sizable check to the church. Prior to that, I just knew him when I saw him. And we began to build a friendship, began to pray together, talk together. And I said, "What is the biggest thing on your heart now?" He said, "The greatest thing on my heart right now is where my death coincides with the last nickel that I have to my name." He said, "I want to give away everything I got before I die." Now, that's a revelation of eternity, right? You know, what he's left his kids is he's left them the DNA, the work ethic, and the creativity that they're all wealthy already. So that's his legacy, not the money that he has or the stuff that. And he said, "You know what? My kids don't need this money. They're well in line to make their own money, do fine." He said, "I want to make sure that I've given the last dime away before I take my last breath." Why? Because he understands eternity. He understands eternity. And he has an eternal perspective. Years ago, Nancy and I were broke. We were broker than broke. I was in the oil and gas business, and we had some interest in some producing oil wells. And when the price of oil was at $30 a barrel, the cost of getting that barrel to the top was $20. So every barrel that we made $10 a barrel on it, right? That's pretty easy economics. When the price in 1986 went to $10, now I lost $10 on every barrel of oil that was coming out of the ground. And that went on for a significant amount of time until we were just broke. We were just so broke. And so it was in those times that I learned how to be a good garage seller. I was a good garage sale buyer and a good garage sale seller. And that's where we got our furniture from in our house. That's where we got, you know, I made extra money to be able to, you know, pay for the kids' stuff. And so what I'd do is I would go out for several different weekends and I would buy at garage sales, bring them back, put it in my garage, and then I would have a garage sale of all the stuff that I'd bought. I was making money hand over fist, you know, and doing all that. And on the day that we would have the garage sale, Nancy would all inevitably start cleaning out the house. And she'd be bringing stuff out, and we'd be selling it, and she'd start to try to stay out. Because what she wanted to do is just, like, if they were interested in it, just give it to them. And I said, "Get back in the house. Don't look out here. Don't come back in out anymore." Because she just gave it away. She'd give away. I mean, our good stuff, give it away. One day I just needed a little bit of a break, 30 minutes, and because I was going to pick up something that I'd bought the week before and bring it back to our garage sale. So she came out to man the store, okay? And so I had a pair of $250 binoculars that I had under a glass case, and some guy came and said, "Boy, I like those binoculars." And they said, "I'll sell them to you for $5. That's why she stayed in the house. That's it. It was during this season in my life that I was just thinking about all the different things that we had to sell. And the Lord, one morning when I was complaining to him about how broke we were, the Lord said, "Why don't you sell that hunting rifle that you got?" I said, "Oh, Lord, that thing is not worth much. It's, you know, it's not really that big a deal. Why don't you take a look at the stuff Nancy's got? She's got a lot of stuff we can sell." And the Lord wouldn't let up. So finally, I just had to decide, you know what, I'm going to... This is back in the days that the advertising you could do in the Dallas Morning News was amazing. You buy a little ad in the Dallas Morning News and for anything. So I had to put in there for a gun, what kind of gun it was, what caliber, what it was. And I priced it $100 more, I knew at least, of what it was worth. The ad went in on Thursday night, like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock at night for the next day's paper. At 7 a.m. the next morning, I got a phone call. Woke me up. "Hello, hello." He said, "Yes," and gave his name. He said, "I'm just reading the paper, and I see you got this rifle for sale." "Yeah, I don't know how much longer." "Okay," he said, "okay, I'd like to come over and see it." "Well, it's pretty early." He said, "I'll be there in 45 minutes. So I gave him my address, and he came by. He looked at it. He played around with it for a minute. He said, I'll take it. I thought, well, he's going to negotiate with me, and that'll kill the deal because it's overpriced. He put the gun down on the table, pulled out his billfold, peeled out $100 bills. Never asked me about the price one bit. Just peeled it and paid for it. Walked out the door, gone. I was in shock. I felt like I'd been gutted. I just felt like, oh, my gosh, it's gone. And the Lord said to me, don't you feel better now? No, I don't feel better now, Lord. And the Lord said, well, you should feel better. He said, because you've sold something that belonged to you. And then the Lord gave me a principle. You can only give away or sell something that you own. If you can't give it away, if you can't sell it, you don't own it. It owns you. All those little knickknacks that your great-great-grandmama gave you that you would never sell, you don't own them. They own you. If you can't give it away, you don't own it. It owns you. And so I learned something that day is that, you know, all the things that I have, I'm just a steward of them. I don't own them. And whatever the Lord says to do with it, that's what I want to do with it. Makes life a whole lot faster because what I noticed now, in that day, that was the only rifle that I have. Today, 30 years later, 35 years later, I got a whole cabinet full of them now. And so the Lord not only gave me back what I sold, but many times what I sold. And so, but I just learned in that moment that I was a steward. And everything that I have in my hands belongs to God, right? So I don't want any of that stuff to own me. I want to own it. And the only way you can tell whether or not you own it is if you can sell it, if you can give it away, right? Now, some other things that I'd like to sell that I can't, but, you know, I definitely don't own them. So we can go into that at another time. But The affirmation we have is, I have an eternal perspective. The fourth affirmation is that all biblical, let's underline that word, all biblical giving begins with the tithe. All biblical giving begins with the tithe. There are lots of people that give, and all giving is not biblical. Some giving is just great. There's nothing wrong with it. It's great. But if we're going to get on the track of, you know, I'm a steward, and I want to hear God's voice, and I want to give intentionally and purposely as the Bible directs me and as the Lord directs me, then it all that beginning, the threshold of that is the tithe. It's the tithe. Let's just talk just a little bit about the tithe. The tithe is a tenth. The word means tenth, one tenth. It's 10% of the increase that God gives me. You think about it, the tithe and money is your life in foldable form. You go work for 2 weeks, and then you get a check. You work for two more weeks, you get another check. So for 2 weeks of your time, you get rewarded money, right? 2 weeks of time. If you quit working those 2 weeks, then you're not going to get any money because you trade your life for those 2 weeks for the paycheck that you get. We all do that to some extent. And so 10% of that paycheck, the Bible says, is your tithe. It is a tithe. The Bible affirms that the tithe actually belongs to God. It doesn't belong to you. We have one person, very generous person in our church, who, when she receives her check from her company for what she does, she takes that check to the bank and she deposits 90% of it and takes 10% in cash. And then she brings the 10% on Sunday and deposits here at the church in cash. The reasoning for that is that tithe, that 10% belongs to God, she doesn't want that in her account. It's his and goes to his account. The tithe belongs to God. The tithe is holy. It's holy. The tithe is a test. The test is to see whether we will live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, or we're going to live according to our feelings or our finances. We live in a world, you know, where it's so pushing us to live beyond and above our means. And so the tithe will keep you within your means. The tithe, I believe, is the key to fruitfulness and to God's blessing. And here's where I get some of that from Malachi chapter 3. Verse 8 says, will a man rob God? Is that possible? Could it be possible for us to put on a mask, get a crowbar, and go to God's house, pry it open, and walk in and steal something from God? Well, you wouldn't think so, but he says, yet you've robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? And he says, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed, therefore, with a curse, for you've robbed me, even this whole nation. Now, here's what a curse is. A curse is the opposite of a blessing. Curse doesn't necessarily mean you don't get any money. It just means that the money you got is not blessed. And there are lots of folks in our generation, lots of folks in our city who have a lot of money, but that money doesn't have much blessing on it because their personal lives are so out of whack, and their kids are out of whack, and their life's out of whack, and just everything is out of whack. And one of the ways to get their life back in line is to begin to give God what belongs to God. First, your heart and life. Secondly, your resources, your time. All that belongs to God. We're stewards of all that. And so he says that you've robbed him in tithes and offerings. He said the anecdote then is to bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. Now, storehouse is a place where you get fed, where you get cared for, where you get counseled, where you have decided this is my spiritual home. This is my spiritual family. And so you bring all that in the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this. It's the only place in the Bible where God says, test me. Test me. Test me. See, test my word. He's saying, he says, and see, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven, pour out for you such blessing there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all the nations will call you blessed. People look at your life and say, how do I get where you are? How did I get there? For you are a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I grew up in a church where I don't think I ever heard the word tithe. It's a Methodist church I grew up in. And what the Methodist church does is that the pastor parish relations board and the budget committee come up with a budget for the church for the coming year. And then one Sunday, they pass out envelopes with the kind of the amount that they need from everybody. And people put the amount in the envelope, and then the budget's taken care of for the coming year. Never any consideration, not for what you can do for the church, but for what giving does for you. No consideration in that. And so it was only after I got born again, saved, and started coming to a saved church that I heard the word tithe. And I began to understand that the tithe is a test. Whether we're going to live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. We got that many bills and just that much, not very much money. And so am I going to pay off this when I don't even have enough money to do that? Or am I going to live by God's word? And I found that living by God's word is the fastest and best way to get out of the trouble that I was in. He just began to work and do things. You see, because what he does is when you begin to obey God and give God what belongs to him, there is a favor that comes on your life. One of these, I said this in the first session, Nancy and I just need to share with you our testimony financially. It's just unbelievable what all the Lord's done in our life. And I attribute that to we began to tithe. We began to tithe. It was hard for me. It was hard. I didn't start out once I saw that giving 10%. I started out just giving 1% or 2%. But just getting in the habit, and it probably took 2 or 3 years before I ever got really in the place that I needed to be tithe-wise. And you know what it was? I finally went on staff of a church and I realized that now that I'm a pastor, I ought to be tithing. I'm ashamed to say that, but that was the truth. And so don't wait till you get to be a pastor, right? You go ahead and get started. The fifth affirmation is this, that I won't forget the poor. I won't forget the poor. Paul writing to the Galatians in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10 says that when James and Cephas, that's Peter, and John, who seemed to be pillars, they perceived the grace that had been given to me. They saw the favor that was on my life. That we should go to the Gentiles, that was the favor, and they would go to the Jews, the circumcised. They desired only that we should remember the poor. And that was the very thing that we were eager to do. If you put us in line with Christians all over the world this morning, you, me, we're all in the top 1% of the wealthiest people on the planet. We're all wealthy. And you may say, well, I'm really broke. Well, you may be in the top 2%. No, Pastor, you don't understand. Okay, well, you're in the top 3% then. The point is this, is that we are at the apex in our ability and our potential to earn and to make money. And so with that blessing, I believe, comes responsibility. And I'm just not advocating something over and above what the Word says. I'm just saying that we are stewards and that we are servants of Christ. And that means that I'm going to give God what belongs to Him. And I'm going to trust Him for the things that He's called me to. Because I'm a giver. I'm a giver because my Father in heaven gave His most precious gift to me, and that inspired me that I can give to. And so I want us to stand together, and I want us to make 5 affirmations of our faith. Listen, I don't mean to strong arm anyone. In fact, I started just by saying, you're a very generous church. But like most churches, that 80-20%, 80-20 rule kind of is in place. We're probably a little better than that here. But what I mean by that 20% of people tithe and 80% don't. Now that 80% may tip, or they may give towards missions, or they may give every week, but they don't tithe. Something different. But I want to just commend you first for being generous. And secondly, I want to just say to you, think about the resources that we could warehouse if everyone gave to God what belonged to Him. Your time, your talent, and your treasure, right? Where my treasure is, there I want my heart to be also. And I know that's your heart too. So, we're going to give 5 affirmations of our faith this morning. And for some of you, it may be a faith statement. But I want you to hear it coming out of your mouth, okay? These are 5 things straight out of the Bible. Number 1, I'll say it, then I want you to repeat it. I am a generous giver. I am a servant and a steward. Jesus is the treasure of my heart. I tithe because the tithe belongs to God. I won't forget the poor. Amen. Amen. If that was you, that's your heart, would you just put both hands in the air like this? Now, let me pray over you. Father, I thank you, Lord, for that cloud of blessing that is over this church. I thank you, Lord, that today, Lord, there are folks in here that have confessed their sins. There's others that have begun to ask you for the blessing. There's others that are just believing you for the blessing. And today, Lord, we just affirm to you that we are generous people, that we are servants and stewards, that Jesus is the treasure of our heart, that we tithe because the tithe belongs to God, and we'll never forget the poor. Lord, help us in that matter. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Give somebody a high five. Tell them you're glad they came today. And that message was just for them. Fantastic. God bless you. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for tuning in today. If you'd like to dive deeper into today's message, go to trinitydallas.com/sermons to receive your copy of the notes. If today's message encouraged you, do someone else a favor and share it with them. Also, be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. A special shout out to all those who partner with us through their giving. Your contributions have enabled us to touch the lives of people in our community, as well as around the globe. Visit us at trinitydallas.com/give